this church, and the people in this church have been a big part of what we're doing at Adult Teen Challenge. Our counselor actually goes to church here as well. Rick, and then your pastor, he actually, when we first got started, it's been 4 years ago now, we were up in the Heights. He used to come and teach class for us. So this church has been a big part of Adult Teen Challenge since we've been here in Billings. I'm just so thankful for you guys. As Rick said, my name is Ryan. I'm the director currently at the Billings campus of Adult and Teen Challenge. I'm also a graduate of the Ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge. So about 8 years ago, I found myself walking through the doors of Adult and Teen Challenge, and that ministry, or this ministry, has completely changed my life. And so I'm super thankful for Adult and Teen Challenge. And we've been in Billings, like I said, for about 4 years now. I'll give you a little origin story of Adult and Teen Challenge here in Billings. Maybe Randall shared a little bit about it in the past. But Randall and I met at another Teen Challenge down in Oklahoma, and we used to sit and pray and dream about opening a Teen Challenge somewhere where there wasn't one. There was a women's program, I'm sure you guys are familiar, in Missoula. There's a women's Adult and Teen Challenge. But in a really large area of the country that consider Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, Utah, there was several million people, and there was no men's Adult and Teen Challenge. And so we began to pray, and to be perfectly honest with you, never thought it was possible. We thought it was just a pipe dream, in a sense, that we could be part of a team that would come up and open an Adult and Teen Challenge. But as the Lord does, He opened a lot of doors, and there have been people in this community praying for Adult and Teen Challenge for a lot of years, and He brought us here. So 4 years ago, in October of 2020, we started taking students, and the Lord has done just a lot of good work. There's many people from this community that have been through our program that are now, living a new life, and that's obviously thanks to God, but through the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge. Now, actually, in the last year, in the last August, we moved out to a new property. We started in the Heights, and now we're out on the west end of Billings in 5 acres, and we're operating out of a couple of houses out there on a piece of property, and we have big dreams to build a big facility out there where we can help more and more people. We recently increased our bed count from 12 men, and we're up to 20, including interns, so we're continuing to grow, and the Lord has, just done a lot of good work. I mentioned that I'm a graduate of Adult and Teen Challenge myself, and like I said, 8 years ago, I found myself walking through the doors of Adult and Teen Challenge. A little backstory on me: I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a long ways from here. I was really, for my whole life, I didn't grow up in church. It's interesting. My grandma, her parents were actually, they planted a church. And then my granny was in the same church for like 60-something years. But when my dad turned 18, he walked away from the church. So I didn't grow up in the church. And to be honest with you, when I came to Adult and Teen Challenge, I wasn't looking for a relationship with Jesus. Often, like the Lord does, I didn't find Him. He found me. And I had spent, before I came to Adult and Teen Challenge, I had spent about 15 years in opiate addiction. Started out in my athletic days, I got into using prescription painkillers, and that eventually turned into a full-blown heroin addiction. So when I found myself at Teen Challenge, I had been homeless on the streets of Tulsa for about the last 5 years, and I was putting a needle in my arm every day. At the time, I didn't know it, but I was filling that hole inside of me, and I didn't know what that hole was. I know now what that emptiness was that was inside of me that I continued to try to fill with everything, but the one thing that could fill it. And when I got to Adult and Teen Challenge, they introduced me to the person that could fill that hole finally. And now, several years removed, I went through the program. It's called Adult and Teen Challenge for a reason, and these guys over here can tell you it's not easy. It's a difficult year. And as I look back on it now, being removed from it, it was not only the hardest year of my life, it was the best year of my life. And now, like I said, 7, 8 years removed, I've got a wife, 3 children. My life, from a homeless heroin addict to a father and a husband, and the opportunity
to be in ministry and try to show these men and give these men the same thing that the men at Adult and Teen Challenge gave to me and showed me. So those of you that aren't familiar, what is Adult and Teen Challenge? So practically, we're a year-long recovery program for people that struggle with life-controlling issues, and most of that revolves around alcohol and drug addiction. And so men come into our program, you know, addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, and our goal is to give them Jesus. And we do a lot of things at Adult and Teen Challenge, and I'll go over some of those things in a minute, but our core, the main thing we want to do is just provide a space where men can encounter the presence of God. And I know that if we do that enough, if we get them into the presence of God over and over and over again, they can't help but change. That's what happens. You know, at Adult and Teen Challenge, we have what we like to think of as kind of our key verse, and that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that says that those who are in Christ are a new creation. New creation. Not those who are in Christ will be able to stay sober. And to me, that was a hope that I had never heard of before, because all the programs and all the things that I had done before that told me, once an addict, always an addict. You're going to have to bear with this in a sense. And I'm not putting down other programs, I promise, but I had never been shown that you could be something completely new. That old life could be put in the ground and you could be raised up into a completely new creation and have a completely new life. And so when I heard that message for the first time in my life, I had real hope. And the mission of Adult and Teen Challenge is to put hope within reach. We want to put hope within reach, because when you're lost in drug and alcohol addiction, you have no hope. There's no hope that anything could ever be different. It's just the same old thing over and over and over again. And you cannot, I promise you guys, I wanted to change. I wanted to change so badly. I wanted to put down the drugs. I wanted to live a new life, but I couldn't do it. With all my struggling and all my striving and all my trying to do it, I just could not do it. And then I encountered the person of Jesus Christ. You know, I think a lot of times when we think about drug and alcohol addiction, we think about addressing the outer issues. Okay, well, we need to get this person a job. We need to get this person sober. We need to get this person headed in the right direction. But the truth is, Adult and Teen Challenge, we want to focus on the inward things. Because I know that if a man's heart can be made new, if a man's heart can be changed, then all those other things, sobriety, success in life, you know, all the things that all of us that came through Adult and Teen Challenge want so badly, those will be a byproduct of that. And so that's our goal at Adult and Teen Challenge. We want to change a man's heart. Not us. We want Jesus to change a man's heart. Because the truth is, there's nothing special about Adult and Teen Challenge. In fact, we were praying before the service, and he said, "You're the director now." And I said, "Yeah, the inmates are running the asylum." Because I'm telling you, I'm nobody. I'm an old heroin addict from Tulsa, Oklahoma. But Christ made me new and gave me an opportunity to be a part of this ministry. And so that's what we want to see in every one of our men's lives. We want to see them encounter Jesus and be made new. And that's the hope. That's the difference of Adult and Teen Challenge and a lot of other treatment programs. So I told you a little bit about our origin story. Like I told you guys earlier, I have a wife and 3 kids, and they weren't able to make it today, but God has just blessed my life through this ministry, and I couldn't be more thankful. I wanted to mention, could you guys put up the comprehensive approach slide for me? I have a little slide here. I just kind of want to show you how we, on a practical level, do the Ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge. And we call this our comprehensive approach wheel. It's real fancy. So in the middle, you have the student and the cross, and everything centers around that. That has to be the center of everything that we do, whether it's counseling or vocational training or whatever it is. Our students and the cross have to be at the center of it. Everything we do revolves around that, because that is our main goal, is to, like I said, get them in the presence of God. So we have our residential recovery part of the comprehensive approach, and that's where the men, these guys over here right now, they have come to our place, and they're going to live there for an entire year. And during that year, we're going to, you know, provide structure and discipline. Like I said, it's not an easy program. But the main things that we're doing is every morning when they get up, first thing we're doing, what are we doing? We're getting in the Bible. We're getting in the Bible because I know that if I can get them in the Word over and over again and they can get that flowing through them, that they're going to change. Right after they get into the Bible, then we're going to go into chapel. We do chapel 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Also, along with that residential recovery program, we're going to church, obviously, like this. We travel around to churches, but these men are going to church twice a week, whether we're doing a teen challenge service or not. Then we've got our vocational training side of the program. These guys, they're not just, yeah, they're reading their Bible, but they're not just sitting around reading their Bible all day. They're going to work, too. And they're helping to provide for themselves while they're in the program. And so we do a number of different things right now. Our big vocational training dream is to own a thrift store here in the Billings area. That's kind of the model that Adult and Teen Challenge does. And, you know, I'm sure you guys could imagine, but when Adult and Teen Challenge is running a thrift store, it gives us a foothold in the community where we can be in the community every day and be coming into contact with the community and praying with people and bringing people into the program. But also, people get behind that, you know. They want to give us their old stuff, and they want to come shop at our thrift store. So that's our dream for vocational training. But right now, our guys are doing a number of different things. We're doing construction work. We're doing just normal yard cleanup work, move jobs, a number of different things. Then we have our outreach portion of the program. Who here has read The Cross and the Switchblade or ever heard about the book The Cross and the Switchblade? So The Cross and the Switchblade is actually kind of the origin story of Adult and Teen Challenge. Just real briefly, in 1958, a small-town pastor from Pennsylvania, the Lord spoke to him and said, there was a trial going on in New York City where a group of boys had murdered another boy in a wheelchair, and the Lord spoke to, his name was David Wilkerson, and he said, go to New York and help those boys. And he showed up there with his Bible. There's a famous picture where he's standing in the courtroom holding up his Bible. He didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't know what he was supposed to do, but he went. And after that, he started just doing street evangelism. He was walking around. There was a huge teenage gang issue going on, and the drugs were really bad. And so he was just hitting the streets, and he was ministering to people. And once he started doing that, he realized, well, we're bringing these people to the Lord, but we need a place for them to go. And so that's how the Ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge started. So the Ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge started with outreach. That was the original program, is they read their Bibles and they went out and did street evangelism. And that's what they did all day, every day. And so outreach is still a big part of what we do. Our guys are traveling almost every weekend out in front of stores, doing storefronts, where they're meeting tons of people, handing out touch cards. We like to partner with other ministries here locally and do homeless outreach and things like that. But we know, too, that outreach is such an important part of the transformation process because it teaches you to get outside of yourself. You know, addicts and addiction by nature is a very selfish disease. It's all about me. You know, the truth is when I was an addict, I stole and took from every single person that loved and cared about me because I was selfish, because it was all about me and all about me needing to meet the need that I had for drugs. And so when we do outreach, we're teaching our men to get outside of themselves and learn how to serve other people. And when you do that, you continue to grow in Christ. And then we have our behavioral health services, which we call Life Renewal, which is licensed addiction treatment from a biblical worldview. And that's important. It still is revolving around what we see here in the middle, which is the cross and the student. And she probably doesn't want me to do this, but our counselor actually comes to this church, like I said earlier. So Keisha's sitting back there. She's a huge part of what we're doing now. She loves these men. She's counseling them every day. She arguably, she spends more time with them probably than anybody. And so she's a huge part, and somebody that goes to this church is the main figure in that Life Renewal services. So that's our comprehensive approach. Those are the main parts of what we do at Adult and Teen Challenge. And then I think what we'll do next is what you guys are really interested in here. And I brought a couple men along with me that are going to share a little bit about their journey and where they're at right now in their relationship to Christ and what he's doing in their life. So I'm going to bring up Gerald first. and Gerald. Gerald is only about 1 month away from completion, so he's been with us for coming up on 11 months. So welcome.
Good morning. My name is Gerald. I'm from Houston, Texas. I ended up in Montana last year. I was struggling with an addiction of alcohol and cocaine use. I thought that I would come to Montana to try to escape all my problems. Ended up in some trouble in Kalispell, and the Lord seemed fit to send somebody my way where told me about Adult Teen Challenge, and he said it's a year-long program. It's going to be difficult, but if you want to do it, I can get you there. And I thought to myself, I don't think that's going to happen, you know, because, you know, with a $75,000 bond that I had pending on me, no money, no ties to the community. So I'm like, you know what, I'll give it a try, but I'm like, it's not going to happen. So I surrendered. I remember being in my cell after I spoke with the gentleman. And I said, Lord, if this is of you, I'll go ahead and do it, and I will give it my best to complete, because I've never completed anything but getting, drinking, and doing my thing, you know. So we went to court. They set a court date, and lo and behold, they gave me OR to let me come to Adult Teen Challenge. I came to the program kind of like kicking against the grain, you know. Didn't really want to, but I had already made a vow to the Lord and said I would commit. Adult Teen Challenge has really changed my life and has helped me to really concentrate on my relationship with God. I was physically broken. I was spiritually broken, emotionally. Through the help of Adult Teen Challenge, my brothers here, the staff, Miss Keisha, that is a wonderful person that has devoted her life to helping men like me. Thankful for everything that God has done in my life. He's opened doors for me that I never thought would be open. I've already had a job lined up. I've had my relationship with my children restored. This last week, I'm thankful to the Lord because I spoke to my son, and he gave his life to the Lord last month, and that's amazing. Tell me, Pops, I stopped drinking, and I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm like, praise thank God. He's already working. And I am so grateful to God for this place. And I'm grateful because being in the world, I don't think that I would be able to devote my time that we have, you know, to be able to have quiet time with the Lord, our devotions that we do in the mornings, that we reflect on everything that we have done, the relationship we have restored, me, I'm going to say me. Lord is gradually putting it back together again. I'm thankful for that. But by the same, you know, this stuff couldn't happen if it weren't for people like y'all to invite us to places like this. I've decided to stay in Billings. I have a new family, which are my brothers here, the church community, people like y'all that give, people like y'all that, whether you give or you don't sponsor people, you invite us. A lot of people would cast us off as hopeless. But thank people to you, all of you here that help us out and, you know, give us a chance to look at us like humans that we are, but we are now children of God. Thank you for everything that you do. That's all I have.
Amen. An interesting thing happens at Adult and Teen Challenge, and me and Jared were talking about that on the way over here, about how his son had given his life to Christ. And the same was true in my family. When men come into the program of Adult and Teen Challenge, God doesn't just use this ministry to change their lives, but the downstream effect is always profound. None of my family was believers. And since I've come to the Lord through the ministry of Adult Teen Challenge, my dad's a believer. My mom's serving Christ. You can't help. When you come out of the situations like we do, and then Christ does a real work in your life and totally changes you, people are attracted to that. There's something about it. I remember I would be going back home for holidays or whatever. I'm like, man, there's something different about you. I can't put my finger on it. And they didn't know what it was. And then that's our opportunity to share with them what Christ is doing in our life. And the same is true for you guys, you know, when the Lord changed you. But it's just beautiful how he uses this ministry to not only change the person that's coming to the program, but to bless the family as well. And, you know, Gerald also mentioned something. He said, you know, that what we do, and this is very true, what we do at Adult and Teen Challenge does not happen without churches and folks like yourselves that believe in what we're doing. And so we're just super thankful. On that note, one of the different things, there's a lot of things different. I know I probably said that 10 times, forgive me. But another different thing about Adult and Teen Challenge when it comes to other treatment programs is we do not require people to pay anything if they don't have any resources when they come into the program. I remember I've been through, probably 12 or 13 other rehabs before I made myself to Adult and Teen Challenge. And I remember it being very costly for insurance or whatever else. And so at Adult and Teen Challenge, if people don't have any resources, which is often the case when you find yourself lost in an addiction, we don't make them pay anything. We're going to bring them in and we're going to help them. And like I said a second ago, the way that we're able to do that is because of churches and people like yourselves, but a few other things we do. A big fundraiser every year, and we also have our student sponsorship program. Could you guys put the gala picture up? I think I gave you one of those. Yeah, so one of the ways we're able to do that is through our fundraisers. And so Friday, September 20th, we're going to have our annual Hope Gala. That's going to go on at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center. I've got information. Once we're done with service, we'll be back here at that table. And if you're interested in maybe joining us, it's going to be a night of testimonies. We're going to do a silent auction. We're going to do a lot of fun things and just kind of highlight what the Lord's doing through our ministry. But it's because of this one of these fundraisers, you know, that we're able to raise the money that we can help the people that we do. So if you'd be interested in attending, come and talk to us. We've got a little scan code you could scan and get the information for that. Another way that we support our ministry, one of the big ways, is through our student sponsorship program. And in a second, I'll play a video for you, which is just more testimonies, really. But our student sponsorship program is really cool because for $45 a month, you can sponsor a student. And that's not just you giving. It is you giving. That's part of it, $45 a month. But also, you get to share in that man's journey through the program and in his relationship with Jesus. So you can correspond with that student as they're going through the program. And we just had a completion ceremony a couple nights ago, and our guy shared about how the letters from his sponsor were so impactful and how he would have rough times and he would get down and then he would get just such a, you know, encouraging letter from his sponsor. And, you know, for guys like us, the idea that somebody that doesn't even really know us would be praying for us and supporting us as we come through the program, that's such an encouragement. And sometimes it's just what the guy needs to keep going and to keep headed forward. And so I want to play our student sponsorship video for you because I can't explain it any better than it is on here. So we'll watch this video.
All the family have a name because of all of the family.
I said, that video says it better than I could, but it being one of the main ways that we support this ministry, I said earlier, but we'll be in the back. If you would be interested in considering sponsoring a student, come and talk to us. So I think now what we'll do is, I brought another guy with us. He's going to share some of his story. His name is Dominic, so welcome, Dominic. Dom is actually currently an intern with us, which is it was the same for me, but for a lot of guys that come through the program, it's kind of a next step after you complete the student portion of the program. You can stay on and start to be on part of the leadership team. So, Dominic.
Hi, guys. Well, I'm excited to share with you guys a little bit of my story. But I want to read this scripture first. This is kind of a scripture for all you praying grandmothers and mothers. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I grew up in a Christian home. That was Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. I grew up in a Christian home in Ohio, and I knew a lot about the Lord. I went to Christian schools. I can't give any excuses. I knew the truth, but I walked away from it. I got sent to the Dominican Republic when I was 15 years old, and I was there till I was 19. I got in a bunch of legal trouble at age 15, robbing houses in Ohio, and just involved in the wrong crowd right away. And my life just slowly just started spiraling out of my control. And then I got put in that program. And it was in the name of God, you know, in the name of Jesus, that program was working, but it was a highly abusive situation. It was a little bit manipulated. Behavior modification, like, they would swat you. I mean, insane, like, punishments and stuff. But anyways, I graduated high school, which I never would have done unless I was in an environment like that. So it got me my diploma, and I ended up going into YWAM when I was 19, which is Youth with a Mission. And because I thought if I, you know, was doing something like that for God, that I'd be all right, you know, and I just wouldn't have any problems. Well, I was wrong. it takes a lot more than just knowing about God to have a good life. I mean, you're not promised a good life even if you know God. But I went to South Africa for 3 months, and I lived in a place called Hillbrow, which is in Johannesburg. It's probably one of the most violent places I've ever been in. It was scary. I somehow managed to, every place I've ever went, like, just somehow I get attacked by the devil. Like, just he's a prowling lion just waiting to devour people. And I was always, like, in his sights. And God had to do a lot of overtime work on me. So I've overdosed 15 times on fentanyl. I've fallen off cliffs and had one tree growing out of it, and it caught my armpit and saved my life. Like, God put that tree there. I have story after story after story about I should be dead. I shouldn't be here. And through this whole, I'm 45 years old, through this whole 25 years, all my later adult life, it's just been addiction, 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 broken relationship, broken relationship. And this story is like, it's kind of a wear down story. I got worn down by the world. I was unhappy. I wasn't even able to get high anymore. Like, I was definitely pumping the drugs in me, but I was not high. Like, God was like almost forbidding it. So it just became monotonous. And, you know, I was dealing drugs and just, It was just a worthless existence, a mundane existence. I was just not happy with nothing. And all the things that I had been caught up on with charges in Montana. I had 7 felonies and possibly a federal indictment for a big seizure that happened leaving my house. And it was time. It was like I got arrested in Butte, Montana in a green trash can, which is kind of a funny story. But I tattooed this little SOS sign on my hand. 15 minutes later, I got arrested in a green trash can. And it, to me, it's really funny because I was actually saying a prayer to the Lord. I was sick of it, you know, and sitting there smoking fentanyl with this guy. And I just remember just fading out, and then they wanted to go get some food, and I was like, I need to get out of here, you know, just unhappy. And went and stole a bunch of food from a grocery store, and so my friend's knees were bad, so he asked me to get in this trash can because it was full of all these brand new shoes. And I was like, all right, I'll get in there. As soon as I jumped in, I seen a cop just drive by. And I knew it was over. Like, for me, it was like, I knew it was over. I could breathe. And I had a moment of relief sitting in that cop car. And I went to jail. And the thing was, though, that I didn't have anything about God in my mind at all. Nothing. It was blank. Like, I just felt like I burned up that opportunity a long time ago. And it was just a process of probably 20 days sitting in jail, very depressed. I couldn't move. I wouldn't get out of bed. And God just started tugging on me, bringing certain people into that jail cell. And I got one of them right here with me, Aaron. He's a good friend of mine. And he was in there talking about Adult and Teen Challenge. And I was like, I want to do something like that. It would be awesome, but they probably aren't going to let me go, just like Gerald said. And little did I know, they let me go. I met a guy named Jeff Hopkins 20 years ago, and he was the guy getting people into Teen Challenge, and he came and visited me, and I couldn't believe it. We just looked at each other and were amazed, because 20 years prior, this relationship was developing that was going to get me into Teen Challenge. And that's just how cool God is, you know, how he works. And his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But I can, like, look back and see all the ways that God had been working in my life. And I hadn't been really aware of it at the time. But I got this last part of the story is pretty good. A guy that robbed me took everything of mine. Like, all my tools, all my hunting stuff, all my fishing stuff, like, just robbed me blind, comes walking through that cell. And I hadn't really turned my life over to the Lord really yet. And I was so mad when I seen this guy. I was just like, oh, this is, I can't get in any fights or I won't be able to go to Teen Challenge, but I really wanted to beat this guy up. And the guy, like, opens his arms up and wants to hug me, and I'm like, I want to kill you. I'm like, you robbed me. And I know you robbed me because the guy that you were with doing it told me everything and didn't know it was my house that he was telling me he robbed. It was a funny story, but God just, like, started speaking to me through this guy. He's like, what happened to you, man? He's like, you used to love the Lord. You used to be a Christian. Like, you turned into, like, the biggest, like he said, dirtbag of us all. And when he said that, dude, I just... It hit me, like, that conviction. So I knew it was the Holy Spirit talking through him to me. And not that the Holy Spirit would call me a dirtbag. I did that. No, the Lord loves me, and he has a plan for me. And at that moment, I was just like, I'm either going to say yes to the Lord, or I'm going to completely block him out and turn away. And this is going to be a pretty miserable experience in jail. And I said yes. I said yes and, like, started reading my Bible. And we started having Bible studies in that jail cell in R6. We had 15 guys sitting around a circle at once a day talking about the things of the Lord. They let me go, come to Teen Challenge eventually after, like, 4 or 5 months. And when I got here, I was so excited because it was all about Jesus. It was completely, every bit of it was about Jesus. And I was ready to receive and to learn about Jesus from an understanding that I just pretended I didn't know anything about him. And I just started from the basics and just started reading in John. And it was just, my life is so much different. My relationship with my three sons is restored. Four of those felonies are gone. And no federal indictment has come. And I did plead guilty to two of them, but I'm a low risk according to my probation officer, so I might only have to be on probation for 9 months. I have aspirations of being a youth pastor or a youth worker. I'd love to keep working with a Teen Challenge. So it is possible for all you moms and grandmas and grandpas that prayed for anybody in your family that has addictions, because I had a Christian family, and they've been praying for me many, many, many nights. And God answers those prayers. It's a promise. He will not leave you or forsake you. And if you do raise a child up when he's growing up in the way of the Lord, he will return to it. It's just what it is. And just to be encouraged and not lose hope. Because if I have hope, anyone can have hope. That's all I got. Thanks.
Praise God. That is both of those guys' testimony. That is what Adult and Teen Challenge is about. We want to see, you know, the Bible talks about in Corinthians how the Lord uses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. And God can take a man that the world sees as hopeless and transform him and use him. And I believe that God, you know, has a plan for these men's lives, to use them in a mighty way. And so that's our goal at Adult and Teen Challenge. You know, we'd love to see every man that comes through here end up being a missionary or a pastor. that doesn't always happen, and that's fine, because the vocational world needs disciples as well. But that's our goal, and the Lord's doing a real work in our ministry. And so super thankful for these guys sharing their story. It's not always an easy thing to get up here and share your story in front of a lot of people. A church like this makes it easier because we know that you guys love us. But I know that God uses these stories to touch people's hearts, like Dominic's talking about, to encourage people. You know, the thing about addiction is it's no respecter of persons. Whether you grew up in church, poor, rich, excuse me, whatever the case is, it affects. So I know there's people in here right now that have either personal experience or know people that struggle. And so be encouraged, like Dominic said, that there is hope, that things can be different, that people can truly be made new and step out of that life and walk in newness of life. We got a few minutes left. I do have a scripture that I'd like to share just real quick. Is that okay, Rick? Are we okay? I'll be quick, I promise. You know, you plan these things out, and it's never close to what I expect it to be. But so real quick, last night, just a quick story. We actually, all of us, even the guys, were at a wedding. And one of our, he was one of our first 10 students. He was our first guy that came through the program, did a whole year of internship, and then is now working on our staff. He got married last night. And so we were all there. Celebrating it really full circle for us to be with a guy from the very beginning, from the night he came in, strung out, praying over him, to now walking his beautiful bride down the aisle and walking in that newness of life. And when I got to thinking about that, I got to thinking about restoration and how that's our goal at Adult and Teen Challenge. And so I'm going to share a scripture out of Acts chapter 3. A little context, I'm actually going to be in verse 11, and I'm really going to hit on verse 19 once we get there. But you guys remember when Peter and John healed a man at the beautiful gate? That's just a little context. That's what has just occurred. And then right after that, Peter starts to really to preach a little bit. And so I want to read that to you guys real quick. So Acts chapter 3, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? I think that's something I always try to do in Adult and Teen Challenge. Peter, they've just healed this man, and everybody's, you know, amazed by them, but he's pointing to Jesus. He's pointing to Jesus, saying it's not us that's healed anybody, but it's Jesus. That's the one who heals. And it's the same thing with Adult and Teen Challenge. I've never saved anybody. You know, I've never changed one man's life. We just want to introduce men to Jesus and know that Jesus is the one who changes. And then after that, it goes on. The God of Abraham, and here he goes glorifying God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man, or given the man, this perfect health in the presence of God. And so here we see that the man's faith. You know, I tell these guys all the time, because we're talking about being hopeless. When you come into the ministry of Adult and Teen Challenge, and we've all probably been there, or many of us have been, at a hopeless point in our life where we don't think it can be any different. We don't think anything can change. But if we could just get that mustard seed of faith, that mustard seed of hope, that Christ can change your life, that's the catalyst. Once we start to believe that, and I can just get that across, just know it can be different. There is one who can change you. And that faith in Christ, and then Jesus does the work, obviously, and does the healing or does the restoration. But our faith does play a part. We have to believe that he can do it. You know, you may not be totally convinced. I do believe when they talk about a mustard seed of faith, you know, that if you could just grasp a little bit that Christ could change your life and make things different, he can do a lot with that. Amen. And so, just one more thing here. And now, brothers, this is verse 17, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. And then verse 19, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence, but from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. I want to say that, I tell the guys this all the time, that repentance and acknowledgement of our wickedness is a requirement for that transformation, for that salvation. We have to be willing, when these guys come in, and this is true in our own lives, we have to be willing to take a look at what we are and acknowledge that what sin is, and that the fact we have to go to God for forgiveness. And repentance is more than just feeling sorry about your sin. It's more than that. That's part of it. Being grieved over your life and the things that you're doing, that's part of it. But it's also, repentance means to turn. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to show these men and help these men to turn. And so that's a big part of this whole equation when these guys are coming to Christ and when we come to Christ and I realize that we have to be willing. And that takes humility. You know, you talked about it earlier, Rick. He talked about, you know, our responsibility really is watchmen and how the way we best love people is to tell them the truth. You know, the world would tell you to affirm everybody. You just affirm them. Make them feel good. Tell them what they're doing is good and right and great and have pride and, you know, celebrate with them or whatever. But that's not how we best love people, because that would be like a man was heading towards a cliff and you just encouraged him on his way. But the best way we love people is we tell them the truth. Now, we do it in love, and that takes some learning and some maturity on how to do that correctly. But that is the best way we love people, and repentance is a huge part. It says over and over again, I mean, it is repent and believe the gospel. That's the first step. And so we have to be willing to have enough humility to acknowledge that. Another thing I like, it says, a word it uses here, it says, and your sins will be blotted out. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about newness of life, putting that old life to death. Those sins are gone. They're blotted out. They're totally removed. And praise God for that. Also, you know, Dominic was talking about if you can have hope. If God could save him, he could save anyway. Well, what about, he's preaching this to the people that he just said killed the author of life. And that there's forgiveness even for them if they're willing to repent and have faith in Christ. And so nobody's too far gone. Nothing that we've done makes us unsavable. And that's a hope for, a big hope for me when I was at Teen Challenge, because I had done a lot of horrible things in my life. And I had a lot of shame and condemnation over it. But like we sung earlier, your grace is enough. And his grace is sufficient. We'll repent and acknowledge him. And then we get to, and that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I know I've said it 10 times up here. We're about restoration. We're about refreshing. We're about men being made new. And that comes in the presence of the Lord. And so thank you guys for allowing us to be here today and to come into the presence of the Lord with you, because that's what the program is and that's what we all need. That's what these men need. That's what I need in my life, is to encounter the presence of the Lord over and over again. And then things will never be the same. Amen. Thank you guys for having us. You mind if I pray? Can I pray before you close out? I'd love to pray with you if that's okay. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to come to this church, Lord, and share our stories and really to glorify you, God. Because all glory and honor and praise and all credit for every changed life that's ever come through Adult and Teen Challenge, it goes to you, Lord. It's because of you. And so we thank you, Lord, and we praise you for the fact that you do restore and you make new. And again, I just ask you to bless this church, Lord. Bless this church and the members or the congregants here, Lord, just like they've blessed us, many of the individual members of this church, how they've poured into our lives, our leadership group, and you know, been part of our ministry. We're just so grateful for the people here, Lord, and for the church as a whole. They've supported us, Lord. So we just ask you to bless them as they've blessed us, Lord. And just thank you again, Father, for allowing us to be here today. Go with us as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen.